David Starr knows Northwest Arkansas, and he knows guitars. He grew up here, and after he opened a guitar store in Little Rock in the late 90s, he moved to Colorado and opened a guitar store there. And he also plays guitars on his CDs. And he knows songwriting as well. Last year, he released his latest recording, The Head and the Heart, a six-song EP produced and arranged by John Oates. Soon, David's newest CD, South and West, will be released. Last week, he was back here for a few days, and next month, he'll be back again to play at the Power of Music Festival in Bentonville. Last week, he came to the Carver Center for Public Radio to talk about all kinds of musically related topics and to play us a brand new song. I want to begin with the fact that you'll be at the Power of Music Festival.
Yes.
A lot of folks are, you, actually, coming in from out of town, but you have a slightly different perspective because you're no stranger to Northwest Arkansas.
Right, and it's interesting to me to go to Bentonville now where everything seems to be happening because, with all due respect, when I lived here, there was nothing happening in Bentonville except Walmart. It started their, march. And I always tell the story. My grandmother used to work in an S&H green stamp store. That was her career when I was young. And until she retired, Sam Walton used to come in and say, "Wilma, I'm going to need a bookkeeper for my new company." Since I was one of her favorites, I'd always wish she'd taken that job, but it's not how it works.
Right. For younger listeners, S&H green stamps. I mean, you got them where you shopped, you saved them in a book, and you turned them in for a sewing machine or a blender?
Yeah, my dad worked for him as well. He was a zone manager and traveled the country. And I said, "What do you do exactly?" Because it was kind of a concept I didn't get. It wasn't like he sold, Fuller brushes or something. He said, "I go to a grocery store, and I convince that guy that runs that store to raise his prices so he can carry my product and give it away." And I went, "Wow, that sounds hard." And he said, "Some days it's really hard, And that's essentially what it was. But you'd collect them and stick them in a book, an empty book, a stamp book, and then you'd go down to what was called the Redemption Center, which I think is another interesting.
Right.
I've got to use that in a song as well. But you'd go down there and you'd get I still have a Black & Decker drill that I got from the Redemption Center.
Through S&H Green?
Yeah. Now, my grandmother worked there, so I was able to buy it with real money, but I got a deal on it.
When I hear your father talk about convincing grocers to raise their prices so they can have his product, it sounds difficult. He said some days it was very hard. Is that at all analogous to songwriting?
The difficulty factor? Yeah. I mean, you might walk in, I do a lot of writing in Nashville now, or a fair amount with other people. Some days you walk in there and in 15 minutes you're like, "Wow, that was great. What's next? We're done." Other days we work for 2 hours and we come back a month later and work for two more hours on the same song. So there's really no way of knowing how that's going to flow. And sometimes it rolls downhill and sometimes it's like, Sisyphus pushing that rock up the hill, happy,
Yeah.
But, for the most part, it's been a really good experience for me personally. I know some people struggle with it, but, I've chosen to work really hard at it the last 5 or 6 years. And I find some people are really easy to write with, others not as much. But generally, you get out of what you put into it, You have to have the right attitude about it.
You can work solo, but you also work with partnerships. John Oates was part of The Head and the Heart, last year's release.
Yep.
What works so well for you guys? Because you're working with him again.
Yeah. John, I've known John about 7 years now, and I've watched him, his career for years. But if you just look at the Hall & Oates thing, you don't really know John because he's half of a big, big machine. Mm-hmm. He and Daryl Hall are still out there. They're going to tour this year. The tour has already started. They're touring with Train. Last year with the Tears for Fears, did 60 or 70 dates. Selling out huge facilities, the Staples Center, the Pepsi Center, big, AT&T Stadium, that kind of stuff. So that's – and he'll tell you, they're way bigger than they used to be. It's the songs. It's not, there's no other way to explain it. But John is a true songwriter. He's a true musician's musician. He's a great guitar player, more accomplished guitar player than you might get from watching the Hall & Oates thing. But he's very, very steeped in Delta blues and the old, Mississippi John Hurt is his big muse. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to John, but
yeah, I have.
That's his thing, and he's really into it. And what he and I seem to have together is I like his work ethic and he likes mine. He likes the way I sing and he likes my songs. So the project that we did a year ago, it was about a year and a half ago, I said, you know, it'd be fun if you produced a song for me sometime. He said, well, let's just do an EP. So he was able, I would send him songs. I'd just sing into the iPhone a little voice memo version of the song with an acoustic. And then we'd meet up in the studio and he would have made some very subtle but important changes. You know, what if you went to this chord here for half a bar and then went back, you know, just little arrangement sorts of things, song doctoring, we call it, you know. Mm-hmm. And there was substantial difference in the song, and it was substantially better. The project we're working on right now, which will be out in a year, and I hope we can both come back and talk to you about it, is based around my grandfather Fred Starr, who was an educator here and lived here for many years, died in 73. And in 72, he published his final book, which was a novel called Of What Was, Nothing Is Left. And there are probably some people in town that still have that, you know. I have all the ones that were available on Amazon.com because the project is this. And John's producing it because he liked the idea. I gave John and a number of other songwriters a copy of that book and said, read the book. And if you're called to write a song, I don't care if it's directly about the book, if it's an idea you got from the book, if it's a character, a name, a phrase that my grandfather used, write a song. And then I'm going to put those songs on an album, kind of a concept album about that book. And I've written about four or five songs. John's working on one. I've got about seven or eight more that other people have contributed. And the response has been amazing. The other thing we're doing is I'm working on getting the rights to republish the book. Mm. So by this time next year, that should all come together and
be a fun event.
Yeah, but he likes John and I just get along well. We like working together. But he took a couple of my songs that I've written for the book project and reworked them enough that he really is going to become a co-writer on those songs because his changes and his contribution was too substantial for me to ignore. So
all right, so that's looking towards 19.
Yeah, yeah.
Before that, you have another record that
I've got a record
South and West
that went to mastering last night in Nashville. It's called South and West, and the title is derived from the fact that I've spent a lot of time in the last couple of years in Nashville and in Colorado. And one day I was sitting trying to decide what to call this collection of songs I'd recorded, and all the titles seemed too long for a title of a record. And I thought, just conceptually, I zoomed out a little bit and said, "Well, I'm kind of torn between these two places, not torn in a bad way, but forever conflicted about where I'm supposed to be geographically, it seems like, because I'm busy." And that's the name we came up with. So the cover art will reflect that as well. Linda Marks, who did the cover art for Head and Heart, is also working on cover art for this one. So, yeah, it's going to be good. It's got 12 songs on it. I'm producing it. My friend Tommy Harden, who played for Reba McEntire for years as her drummer, he put the band together and all guys that I knew, brought them all in. I'd worked with them before, and we just had two full days of just knocking that out.
Solo and co-writes on there?
Yes, quite a few co-writes. That's the other thing, is it reflects the fact that I probably maybe four or five co-writes on there, so that's always fun. The single's called Don't Give Me Hope, and that comes out April 8th. I wrote that with Irene Kelly, and Irene's a very accomplished writer as well.
You make a living in this business.
Well, I don't make a very big living, but I play a lot.
Yes.
I have a guitar store, which provides me with a platform to go out and play at this stage of the game. But I play about 150 nights a year.
Okay.
So that's a lot.
Yeah. That's not something everyone can claim.
No. And I'm very fortunate to have the opportunity to do it.
You're going to, at the Panorama Music Festival, you'll have some people there who, that would be one of their goals.
Yeah.
To get to that point.
Right.
You mentioned work ethic earlier. I can tell you're inspired. I mean, just since you've been sitting here, you think S&H Green Stamps, a quote from my father. So
yeah.
That ability to be a sponge.
Yeah.
And then somehow turn that into a great lyric.
Right.
What else gets you to 150 practice?
Yeah, I grew up playing in bands. I played in Fayetteville and cut my teeth on Dixon Street and at the old Brass Monkey and Gaslight Clubs underneath the Mountain Inn. And those of you old enough will remember what I'm talking about. And you may want to disavow any knowledge of some of that. But I grew up playing, you know, Dixon Street clubs out on North College at some places, VFW halls, college and fraternity parties and high school dances. And while I loved playing in a band and that energy and that collaboration was always fun, several years ago I decided that if I wanted to get out and do this and get really, really better and improve my skills, I needed to just do it by myself because there is no net, as you said earlier before we started. When you're working without a net, you either get real good or you get beat up, and sometimes both things happen simultaneously. So, you know, I played a house concert up in Springdale the other night, and somebody said, felt good. He said, you sound better than ever. You just keep getting better, and that's the goal, you know.
New single is April 8th.
Yes.
And then the entirety of the...
The album should be done and hit iTunes and all that stuff, and probably April 27th.
Oh, right about the time of the Power of Music Festival.
Yeah, I hope to bring a box with me.
Excellent.
So I'll make sure you get one of those.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you have no band behind you.
Right.
You have a guitar, so no net.
Right.
You want to work without a net?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Okay. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the new single. I wrote this, like I said, with Irene Kelly. Irene is known as a bluegrass performer, but she's got quite a long history in Nashville and in the bluegrass circles and has written some songs. Alan Jackson recorded a song of hers called I'm a Little Bluer Than That, I think is what it's called, and I really enjoy writing with it. It's called Don't Give Me Hope.
You say that you love me, you don't want to hurt me. I know you believe that it's real. But if you should ask me what I really need, I'll tell you just how I feel. The damage is done, nobody won. It's time that we both face the facts. And those baby blue eyes and pretty words won't bring me back. Don't give me hope, 'cause I'll just hang on to your promises, pulling me back to the past. But I should move on. I hung up on you when I just need the truth. That's all, I got just enough rope to pull myself out, so don't give me hope. Don't say you'll be different, 'cause you can't be different. Believe me, baby, I know. We want what we can't have. Stubborn as I am, I can tell when it's time to let go. There's no denying those demons you're fighting may always be there in your way. But I'm fighting them too each time you ask me to stay. Don't give me hope, 'cause I'll just hang on to your promises, pulling me back to the past. But I should move on. Hung up on you when I just need the truth. That's all, I got just enough rope to pull myself out, so don't give me hope. So tell me one good lie. Say you never loved me, that'll it's so easy to tell you goodbye. Don't give me hope, 'cause I'll just hang on to your promises, pulling me back to the past. But I should move on. Hung up on just enough rope to pull myself out, so don't give me hope. I got just enough rope to pull myself out. myself out, so don't give me hope.
That is an amazing achievement because there have probably been about 2 million heartbreak songs ever written, right? And that seems like one it. Seems to be 100% original and like you're actually talking to someone. That's a gem right there.
Thank you so much.
That is really, you know what? That guy in Springdale was right. You just keep getting better.
Well, that's nice to hear. You know, the funny thing about this particular song is the way it came about is my publicist, Craig, and I were sitting one day at an event, and we were waiting for the thing to start. It was a lunchtime event in Nashville with some people playing, and my brother Joe was there. He came to visit, and we're sitting there, and I said, I'm writing with Irene tomorrow, and he said, what are you going to write about? Kind of deadpan, you know. And I said, I don't know yet. And he said, well, don't give me hope, meaning don't write some happy thing. You know, that's, you know, he said it was kind of rainy, kind of like today, kind of overcast, mm-hmm. and he said, well, don't give me hope. So, of course, I wrote that down, and when I got to Irene's house the next day, I said, here's the title. And the more we worked through it, as I got to the end, there's that line, there's no denying those demons you're fighting. And the whole idea was maybe it's somebody with an addiction and being in a situation where you've just got to get yourself out of it, whether it's an abusive situation, an addiction problem, who knows, just a bad situation. And sometimes people will pull you back in by giving you some false hope. And that's kind of what it's about. So I hope it made the point. So.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Continued success.
All right. Thanks.
David Starr is a Northwest Arkansas native who now spends time in Colorado and Nashville. His newest CD, South and West, will be released next month. His visit to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio took place last week. He'll be back in Northwest Arkansas in April to be part of the Power of Music Festival. You can find out about his appearances and the rest of the festival at allflyawayfoundation.org. You can learn more about David at davidstarmusic.com or at his Facebook page.